From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Drug charges are piling up in Stillwater, and Manny Ramirez is the latest baseball star banished from the game because of doping. And then there's no narcotic that's stronger than Thunder fans' addiction to getting Blake Griffin in the lottery. Hello and welcome to the Press Row from the Opubco studios in Oklahoma City. I'm sports editor Mike Sherman, along with columnist Jenny Carlson and Barry Trammell. And due to scheduling conflicts in front of the cameras, basically they've got a rock and roll band in there in the video studio, we're strictly podcasting today, which is fine with us, guys. Welcome. But the first question is this. The felony drug trial of Oklahoma State wide receiver Bo Bowling starts today. Then Thursday, an OSU recruit named Colton Richardson is arrested in Ada on marijuana charges. Barry, is the Cowboy program at risk of developing a reputation for drugs?
I think the answer is yes. Timing is everything. And when you got situations like this that pile up and pile up, people will step back and say, what the heck is going on? If Colton Richardson had been arrested, on a slow day in June in 2006, before anybody had heard of Bo Bowling or anything else, you'd think, well, that's unfortunate. What's the knucklehead doing? But, right when it comes upon all the talk about Bo Bowling, I think you've got to say, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's interesting about this is that when this coaching regime came in, they did a lot to clean up the program. I mean, they were kicking guys out left and right for all sorts of stuff. And now, I mean, obviously Bo Bowling is on indefinite suspension. And if he's found guilty, I have no doubt that he'll no longer be a Cowboy. I don't think they're going to take a chance on that. But anytime you've got things piling up like this, I think we've seen it with OU's program too. I think they've had some instances where you start to wonder what the heck's going on there. They've had multiple issues with guys not paying fines and silly things that they should be taking care of, business that they should be taking care of. So anytime you sort of have these things piling up, I think there are questions out there, and I think fans will be asking, and I'm sure that the athletic department will be asking, is there a problem? And I think it's something that they probably do need to be looking at.
Is the prevalence of marijuana among you and its use among young people with some disposable income or just young people in general, is that what's at the root of all this? I mean, are we still arresting people for marijuana and everybody's using it mm-hmm. in
well,
college campuses?
Not everybody's using it, no. But a lot of people are, and a lot of athletes. Particularly the football culture, for some reason. I don't understand it, but marijuana seems to be the drug of choice for football players and maybe basketball players too. I do think you have to differentiate between the Colton Richardson and the Bo Bowling. I mean, Colton Richardson screwed up and got himself in some hot water. Bo Bowling's got his life on the line. He's not going to be – if he gets found guilty, he's not going to be an OSU Cowboy. He might be a McAllister Cowboy. Mm. He might be down in Big Mac. So, to me, it's always perplexed me why guys want to risk their – maybe not their careers, but risk their reputations and their standings for a recreational drug like marijuana, but they certainly seem prevalent to do that.
Well, there's been guys with lots more on the line than Bo Bowling who've done stupid things drug-related, and, I mean, multimillionaires, pro athletes that have taken these steps, and you say, why would they do these sorts of things? It happens all the time, but I agree with Barry. I think Bo Bowling is in a – I mean, if he's found guilty of all these things that are out there – he's got some serious problems. I mean, it sounds like this guy was in deep with this. And, I think that you can't obviously hold coaches and administrators accountable for the actions of their athletes all the time. But I think that there has to at least be some oversight in the university to say, hey, we need to be paying attention. If we've got a guy that's sounds like a pretty, big-time distributor out there, we probably need to know what the heck's going on. So, to me, it seems like every university runs the risk of having this sort of thing happen. But maybe this is a wake-up call, and maybe they'll start to be a little more mindful of these sorts of things.
Okay, let's turn to baseball, where Dodger slugger Manny Ramirez is out for 50 days, suspended for using a banned substance. And that this banned substance starts the body's production of testosterone. Ugh. Any surprises that Ramirez is the latest baseball star to fall from grace, Jenny?
Yeah, this was kind of a weird one. It's not a steroid. It's a female hormone that is apparently supposed to restart your system after heavy steroid use, one of those flagged substances out there by Major League Baseball. Any surprise that he's the latest star to be banned anymore? I don't think there's any surprise that anybody in baseball is using or has used. I mean, to me, it's just become sort of, yeah, he's the biggest star to be banned under Major League Baseball's drug policy, but I don't know anymore. I just sort of work under the assumption that everybody's used something at one time or another, Barry. Maybe my judgment's been clouded, but that's just sort of how I feel at this point about Major League Baseball.
I can't think of anybody who would surprise me in baseball.
That's what Bill Roden said today on the Dan Patrick Show. I don't know if you're a listener sometimes.
I did not hear Bill, but that's I can't think of somebody. I'm trying to think of a golden boy who could actually, you know, we talk about fall from grace. They've all fallen from grace, including Albert Pujols, including everyone who hasn't been fingered. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole sport sits in judgment. Particularly Manny Ramirez, for crying out loud. The question is not what happened to Manny. It's, you know, what took him so long. This is a guy that, you know, I saw Manny Ramirez in 1995 at the All-Star game. That was 14 years ago, and he's 36. So he's 22 years old. And, you know, he looked like a 12-year-old compared to what he looks like now. So, no. And the truth of the matter is the whole sport has been indicted.
I'm tired of all these guys, too, saying they didn't know what they were taking. These guys are multi-million dollar machines, in essence. I mean, they get paid millions of dollars for the performance of their bodies. I'm tired of these guys saying, I just took something and I didn't know what it was. That does not fly with me. And that seems to be one of those overriding arguments that these guys that get fingered, you know, oh, it was just something from my doctor said it would help and I took it. I don't buy that. If I'm getting paid millions of dollars for the performance on my body, I'm going to question what I'm putting into it, even from doctors. I don't buy that anymore. I find that really, really hard to believe.
And to the point that everybody is tainted, the whole sport is tainted, here's the farthest extension of that, and it's what Bill Roden said today. He said, you know, this Cal Ripken streak, it's a feat of endurance. You know, so you go out and play every day. Nobody's ever been able to do something like this. And he went, you know, 200 and some games past the Iron Horse, Lou Gehrig. Wouldn't surprise me if Cal Ripken was on steroids. Hmm. And to me, when you start saying that, to me, that's the end of it. When you get to that point and when that shoe falls, then the whole sport is covered. And the fact that, Albert Pujols, this big thing hangs over him. And the problem is he plays baseball. He's a Greek Adonis. He hits the ball incredibly. And at some point, he was a high school baseball player in Kansas City who really nobody paid much attention to.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted. Went to some sort of community college up in Kansas. And then the next thing you know, he's playing A-ball and playing for the Cardinals.
Yeah. I actually saw him in high school.
You did?
Yeah. He was.
What did he look like?
Well, I mean, he doesn't look like he does now, I'll tell you that. But he was, I mean, there was a lot of questions about Albert from an age standpoint early on. He went to a suburban Kansas City high school, not really known for great baseball. I actually saw him one summer in a sort of one of those scouts camps where they bring in a bunch of kids. I'm sure they all paid some, you know, 100, 200 bucks and hit for scouts, fielded for scouts, all that sort of thing. And he was clearly the most athletically gifted guy out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, just hit it a mile. So I think he's got – I don't think any of these guys are without some very honed talents. I mean, to hit a baseball like these guys do obviously is a great talent. But clearly you've got some added help in recovery, muscle mass. I mean, all these things that have been well documented. And I would love to believe that Albert Pujols is, you know, the bastion that was untouched by this stuff. But it's like Barry said, it's hard not to believe everybody's not touched by this thing.
Seven of the top 15 home run hitters of all time now are under the suspicion, have been penalized or have admitted to some sort of steroid use. I think that's the number now. Barry, do you still love baseball?
I love baseball history. Don't really care one way or the other about the modern stuff.
Okay, and finally, let's get on to something people around here do love, profess their love for, would write sonnets about, and that is the concept of Blake Griffin playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're only 11 days away from the NBA lottery. Fever's high. Thunder fans somehow want to find a way for Blake to play here, but the hometown team's only got, what, 11.9% chance of winning the lottery ping pong ball fall. So do fans need to begin a 12-step program, guys, to get their heads around the fact that it might not happen, Barry?
I wouldn't give up hope just because the Thunder loses the lottery. If they don't get one of those 11.9% lottery balls, I wouldn't give up hope because they will attempt to make a deal, and deals are very tough to make, and people don't trade the number one pick, although it's happened once or twice in the last, you know, two or three decades. But the Thunder does have a lot to deal with in terms of future draft picks and salary cap room and those things. So I wouldn't give up hope, but it's going to be a long shot. Going to be a long shot.
But it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, it's just going to be great drama to see how this thing unfolds. Do they get it? Do they not get it? I have no idea. John Rohde wrote earlier this week that people do need to come to grips with the fact the field has a much better chance to get the number one pick than the Thunder do. And that's absolutely true. I mean, when you look at the percentages, it absolutely is weighted against these guys to get that top pick. And I mean, the storybook nature of it all makes you believe, there's no way that this could happen. But I do think that with the number of draft picks that this team has stockpiled, in essence, I mean, they've really stockpiled these draft picks. And I think, you know, they're going to get a top five pick regardless. So they've got that, plus all these other picks, and then some tradable guys. I mean, they've got some commodities that people might be interested in. So, yeah, I mean, it's not the most feasible thing in the world, but there are possibilities. It could just happen by dumb luck, and then it might happen by Sam Presti's waving of his magic wand.
Well, I think there's some combination out there that still exists. First of all, I think there's something going on. I think the Thunder would really like to suppress expectations,
sure,
to get expectations down. And the second thing that happens in professional sports, whether it be the NFL draft, the NBA draft, trade expectation, there's all kinds of messages sent with the intention of trying to get the price right, okay? So I think the Thunder wants to be real careful of saying, hey, we got all these commodities, the trade, and oh, look at all these draft picks, and look at these young players, because somebody might say, I'll take all of them.
Yeah.
The price might be all of them. And a bunch of cash. Yeah. So let's hold down expectations. I think maybe that's something the Thunder would really like to do.
Here's the biggest problem is even if a team that wins the lottery would be open to trading the number one pick, it's a tough sell in your own market to trade the number one pick. Mm-hmm. T-Wolves, for instance, they've got Kevin Love. They got Al Jefferson. They really could use a perimeter player more than Blake Griffin, possibly. But in Minneapolis, a place where basketball fever has dipped since Kevin Garnett left, it's a tough sell. You got a chance at obviously the best player, a Blake Griffin. Your season ticket, you win that lottery, your season ticket marketers are on the phone calling, saying, "Hey, look what we got. We got the number one pick. We got Blake Griffin coming, best player. We can sit." You know, there's a lot of pressure on a franchise to market that number one pick, and it's a tough sell to trade it. Doesn't mean they won't, but it's very tough.
I think it comes down to who gets the number one pick. If it's not the Thunder, is it a team like Minneapolis who might be hesitant to trade, even though they're pretty well stocked at that interior position? Or is it a team like the Clippers who would be just goofy enough to say, oh yeah, we'll work out a deal here? I think it really comes down to not so much if the Thunder don't get it, I think it comes down, if the Thunder don't get it, to who then gets it and what they're willing to do and who the leadership of that team is.
One other factor in that is how far the Thunder falls in the whole draft lottery
order. Are they two?
Order.
Are they
if
three?
They're two. Now, that's what I'm saying. If you look back, the only straight-up trade after both players are taken and then was Chris Webber for Penny Hardaway. Chris Webber was the number one pick.
In 93.
In 93 of the Orlando Magic. Penny Hardaway went like third.
Third to the Warriors.
To the Warriors. And listen, if you remember, and then in between them was Sean Bradley. In between them was Sean Bradley. A guy, a player that Don Nelson absolutely was in love with.
He's thin enough to fit between anybody, by the way.
But Don Nelson was more in love with Chris Webber and his passing abilities. So, and if you look at it, the Magic, you could see where they had need for Chris Webber, but they had Shaq, okay? Then Penny Hardaway, you can see how he would have fit really well in the Golden State Warriors up and down, but they traded those two. And so that was a player that the Magic really, there was a deep draft in there. There was somebody worth getting, and then there was the draft picks. Three of them went from Golden State to the Orlando Magic to make the getting rid of Webber worth it. Well, here we sit. Ricky Rubio is clear. This is a two-player draft. And Ricky Rubio, it depends on what happens in the next 2 months about Ricky Rubio. Is there a Ricky Rubio campaign? Do we get to see him? Do we get to talk to him? Mm-hmm. Does somebody's scouting department have a very international feel to it? I think if Ricky Rubio is the Thunder gets the second pick, I think you could see lots of scenarios where Rubio and some picks go without having to give up the farm, because right. What we're reading more and more now about Rubio is, one, he can defend. See, this is something I hadn't heard a lot about, but I read recently, 6'3", shooting guard / point guard with unbelievable point guard skills who can also defend. Now, not a great shooter, everything we read, but great. So I think you could see something where the Timberwolves get the number one pick and they'd want him.
His stock needs to really rise. That would help the Thunder. The more his stock rises, the more that helps the Thunder.
There's a weird thing, too, out there about Ricky Rubio where he has a buyout from his team. And the way it goes, the NBA team is only allowed to give a couple $100,000 towards that buyout, which leaves Ricky Rubio with several million dollars. I think it's more than two, maybe less than six, but somewhere in there, he's got to come up with it. Well, the economies in Europe are not doing any better than the economies here. In fact, probably worse. There's some talk that team that owns his rights over there, they fell out of the top league in Europe, and so they're trying to cut expenses. They're going Devil Rays, the old Devil Rays, Orioles.
Well, losing Rubio would help expenses.
Losing Rubio might help expenses. They might be willing to negotiate. That's going to be interesting to see. I also think the idea that the Thunder really likes the three that they've got, and what's not to like. Mm-hmm. The question is, they got to find somebody to defend. If they don't get Blake Griffin, they better go about finding somebody to defend the basket a little bit. We've seen the NBA playoffs. That's really important.
Agreed.
Final question, guys. It's a wild card question. One of the most revered entertainment institutions in American culture, Star Trek, is back. Back with authority, if you read the columns of the Oklahoman. And it's a new major motion picture. It's out. Star Trek was born in the turbulent 1960s. What sports phenomenon from the 60s has been the most enduring? Jenny?
Well, the one I'm going to go with is the headband. The headband has been making comebacks again and again and again in sports, especially in basketball. And I don't have any idea where it originated or who it originated with, but it had to be the 60s.
Do you remember when Wilt started wearing a headband?
I do.
Think he's the first guy I ever saw in a headband. It was late 60s.
Yeah, the ABA was just a wild pasture of headbands. So and I don't know, ABA was about 67 to 74. So, but that's what really birthed the headband.
Would somebody tell me why these guys that wear the headbands with the NBA logo on it wear it upside down? I think Rajon Rondo wears it upside down, and I'm like,
I think it's some sort of protest
about
having to wear a headband with the NBA logo.
Okay.
On.
When you fly the flag upside down, it's a ship in distress.
Yeah, it's like
the Celtics are a ship in distress.
Hook 'em horns upside down. You're trying to send a message.
Barry, what's your pick?
I'm going to go with something that really never happened before the '60s, and then has taken root, and we see it arise every decade. Since, and that's expansion. Expansion flourished in the 60s. Major League Baseball added 8 teams in the 1960s itself. The NFL added teams. The AFL was a rival league, but was virtually, you know, expansion teams. And then every decade since, it has really slowed. I don't think we've had an expansion team since the Houston Texans, 2002. But we'll see it again. People, you know, everybody talks contraction, but forget contraction. We're going to we'll see expansion before we see contraction.
Okay, that's all for the Press Row. You can stay with the best coverage team anywhere every day at News OK and every morning in the Oklahoman.